The Fight Show on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network is presented by WinBet. Get started today and you'll get a risk-free bet up to $500. Terms and conditions apply. Get the details at WYNNbet.com and download the app today. We're also brought to you by BetQL. Your bracket may bust, but your bankroll never has to with BetQL. Use promo code MARCH30 for 30% off the entire year of BetQL. That's BetQL and the promo code MARCH30. We're also brought to you by OddsCrowd. OddsCrowd has a ton of free fantasy betting contests, including a $2,000 season-long MLB contest and a $500 weekly contest. Download their app today at sportsgamblingpodcast.com/odds. That's sportsgamblingpodcast.com/odds. We're also brought to you by Better Than Vegas. Better Than Vegas is your home to free daily video picks from the Sports Gambling Podcast Network. It's like YouTube for sports betting. Make sure to subscribe to our profile at sportsgamblingpodcast.com/BTV. That's sportsgamblingpodcast.com/BTV. We're also brought to you by PicksWise. Follow the PicksWise Kappa contest at PicksWise.com for free picks and analysis throughout the tournament from the likes of Josh Rothstein, Rashard Phillips, Jeff Nadu, and more. See which expert is trending hot as they battle it out for a winner-takes-all $10,000 prize over at PicksWise.com. And finally, we're also brought to you by Better Edge. Better Edge operates like a stock exchange for the sports world. Pick the teams you like and have someone else buy the other side. Sign up at BetterEdge.com and use the promo code SGP for a free $10 play. That's BETTOR Edge.com and the promo code SGP.
The main event, one of the baddest heavyweight fights in a very, very long time.
I'm the underdog. That's what the betting line says, right? I'm used to being the underdog. I don't mind being the underdog because I like shutting people up.
Francis Ngannou has the world record for the most powerful punch, which is equal to getting hit by a Ford Escort going as fast as it can.
He's the most exciting challenger ever. Just began his martial arts training 5 years ago.
I was very new in the sport. I didn't have as much experience. I was just going there to smash him like he was nobody.
Oh, big right for Ngannou.
Goodness gracious.
Ford Escort, Ford F-150, I don't really care. I'm going to keep coming.
Not deterred as he presses forward.
I took the will out of him, and that's what I do. I will take the will out of you.
What an amazing performance to overcome the storm and to fight the kind of fight you have to fight to beat a guy like Francis Ngannou.
I love shutting people up because they have nothing to say.
This guy's a phenom. He's one in a million, blah, blah, blah.
Well, guess what? He lost. I love it. It's the best feeling in the world.
Stipe Miocic is the greatest heavyweight of all time. There's no argument. Defended the title more than anybody ever. Defeated legends like Fabricio Verdun, Junior Dos Santos, Alistair Overeem.
He more has my heart. I have the most title defenses. I've fought former champions and beat them all. I'm the best.
I always won every match. I did a lot of mistakes leading up to our first fight. And I know that for the rematch, I can fix them.
Oh! Huge right from Ngannou! Too much!
Since our first fight, my striking has improved a lot.
Oh, that's it. It's over.
Rosen's strike is out!
Whoa!
Ngannou!
Out bad!
My whole game has improved a lot.
Maybe he got to his title fight a little early, but now he seems to be more than ready.
I'm twice what I was skill-wise, experience-wise. Now it's time for the rematch.
He's been on a tear. He's been not hammering out again. He's gotten a lot better. Ain't nothing's gonna change, though. I'm gonna go out there, I'm gonna dominate him again. He'll break again, and it's gonna be seen how come he's winning.
Fans can't expect to see a new version of me, a different approach, and a new champion.
He's very dangerous, but so am I. Find out in 27th how dangerous I really am. Listen, I'm walking out, hand raised, belt still wrapped in my waist, saying yeah, still. I'm gonna walk out, champ. Nothing's gonna change.
I have to do what he takes to get what I want. I'm gonna become a heavyweight champion. Stipe, enjoy the belt where you stick on.
You are listening to The Fight Show here on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network. You can follow the Sports Gambling Podcast Network on Twitter at The SGP Network. That's at The SGP Network. My Twitter account is at SGP Soccer. That's at SGP Soccer. You can also check out my website, lockbetting.com. I'm heading towards the 94th month of consecutive transparent track profit for my clients. Sign up on April the 1st to be a part of the 95th month. Tons and tons of sport in the month of April. We have the NBA. We're winning nearly every single night, coming off a massive night last night. We are delivering in the tennis. We are well back on track with the soccer over the last couple of months. If you've been listening to my soccer podcasts on the Soccer Gambling Podcast Network, you know what I've been doing there. We have UFC picks this weekend. We have boxing to cover as well. We're going to be covering boxing on this show because Povetkin and Dylan White also goes down this weekend along with UFC 260. And of course, we have WWE WrestleMania in April. The reason why I'm plugging April is because if you sign up for my Patreon this weekend, you will be charged for the entire month. However, some cappers charge more than me for a week than I do for an entire month. And I guarantee you, I do a lot better than them. I have 94 months of consecutive track profit. The pinned tweet at SGP Soccer, my Twitter account, is always the previous month. But if you go to lockbetting.com, it's free to go and have a look at all of the spreadsheets across the 94 months that we deliver profit. And as I said, you can be a part of the 95th, or you could just sign up for 5 days and be a part of the 94th. However, you will be billed for the entire month. So if you have that much faith in me, and you should have given my results, then you can sign up for this weekend and just get the NBA, the international soccer, the boxing, the UFC, and get some futures for the Europa League and the Champions League. The futures show for the Europa League and the Champions League is dropping on the Soccer Gambling Podcast this weekend. It's a very, very important show. So I suggest you guys listen to that if you're not already checking out the Soccer Gambling Podcast. And if you are, please leave a review for the Soccer Gambling Podcast, and we will be bringing those locks back for you this weekend. Locks went on hiatus for a few months until the show got back on track, until I stopped getting these stupid tweets after being between 75 and 80% all these times. Had a little bit of a dip in December, and people unfortunately turned very, very quickly. And I said, F you guys, we're going to take the locks away. If that's going to be the reaction to that, then we just have to give the leans. We're not obligated to give the locks. And if you want the locks back, show some appreciation and give the reviews. Well, we're almost there. We've had a load of reviews over the last month. Just need a few more to get over the line. It'd be much appreciated. And we'll bring the locks back on that Europa League and Champions League future show. Moving on to the fight show here, and we are covering the main two fights at UFC 260, and then we are going to be looking at this Dylan White Povetkin fight and looking at a couple of fights on the undercard there. If you want all of my plays for everything from UFC and boxing this weekend, as I said, lockbetting.com is the place to go. But we're going to cover the main stuff here for you for free, and we will start with that main event at UFC 260, the rematch between Ngannou and Miocic. And last time, Miocic won relatively comfortably, yet Francis Ngannou was a slight favourite and now is a stronger favourite than that. He is available at the worst price of 4-6, and I'm seeing a best price here of 8-11. Stipe Miocic is available at the worst price of evens and at a best price of 6-5 to win this fight. So you can now get the guy who convincingly won the last fight as a 6-5 plus 120 underdog to do what he did last time. I can't work out why that is. I'm going to try and work it out here on the show for you guys. But before we do that, we'll break down some of the other odds here. Method of Victory says that Miocic is 2-1 to win this via TKO KO, 16-1 via decision, and a massive 5-1 to win via decision, the same way that he won last time. Francis Ngannou is available at 10-11 to win this via knockout. Well, you may as well bet that instead of taking him on the outright market, which has moved to around about 4-6, because he only has one route to victory, and that is knocking Miocic out in this fight and probably doing it early in round one. More on that later. Submission odds 18-1 and decision 14-1. Looking at the round betting, Miocic in round 1, 7-1, round 2, 10-1, round 3, 12-1, round 4, 16-1, and round 5, 18-1. Francis Ngannou is 23-10 to win it in round 1, 11-2 round 2, 18-1 round 3, round 4, 25-1, and 33-1 for round 5. I think for me, it has to be round 1 or nothing. I think if this fight goes past that first round, then you have to be looking at Miocic winning the fight. I find it very, very difficult to see what exactly has changed from last time. And the situation going in, I think, is the same. It's round one Ngannou. Otherwise, it's Miocic for the rest of the fight. When we look at those round markets, under 1.5 and over 1.5 is where the 10 to 11, minus 110 line is set here for this one. Under 2.5 rounds is available at 1-2. Over 2.5 rounds is available at 6-4. Under 3.5 rounds is available at 1-4. Over 3.5 rounds is available at 5-2. Under 4.5 rounds here is at 1-6. And over 4.5 rounds here is at 7-2. And the fight to go to distance is available at 4-1 here in this one. And considering Miocic is at 5-1 to win this on points, I think the bookies obviously agree. If this goes to points, Ngannou isn't going to have a chance. And that's probably because they are forecasting that he's only going to have one round in the bank. And that's going to be round one, where he comes out and goes for Stipe's head. I mean, you heard there in the package, Ngannou hits as hard as a car. But the fact is that he has to connect with you. And his gas tank is really only going to be full for one round. I don't understand this switch of odds. The last fight wasn't particularly close at all. It was a case of Miocic having good enough movement to avoid what Ngannou had. And I don't think we're going to see any like digression here from Stipe Miocic. And yes, that people are all saying that Ngannou has improved, and he has. But has he improved enough to have a incredible gas tank that can make this a fight past 5 minutes? I mean, he's going to be dangerous for 5 minutes, and he's the favorite here, and he's moving towards being a significant favorite here already at 4-6, when at the start of the week he was a narrow favorite at 5-6 -120 with Stipe Miocic at even money. Well, that's not the case anymore, because the money is coming in on Ngannou. He's a 15-3 fighter in MMA. He's 10-2 in the UFC. He has spectacular knockouts on his record, which makes him easy to bet. He beat Jairzinho Rozenstruik in his last fight in just 20 seconds, and that was back in May. So he's only averaging 2.23 significant strikes per minute. That's because his strikes are so powerful, obviously, with an accuracy of 37%. And I think that is the issue here against Miocic. Ngannou is only absorbing 2.03 strikes per minute, and his grappling isn't that great, but he does have a takedown defense of 71%. But against a wrestler like Miocic, when he fought him last time, he was taken down 6 times in the first fight. If that happens again, he'll lose again. Miocic, as we know, is 20-3 in MMA, 14-3 in the UFC. Finished his trilogy with Cormier beating him in August 2020 to regain this title. He has an average of 4.9 significant strikes per minute, so he's a lot more active than Ngannou. And a striking accuracy of 52%, again, more accurate. He absorbs 37.5% of his strikes and has a striking defense of 55%. And Miocic is also keen for a fight on the ground once again, averaging 1.92 takedowns per every 15 minutes. And his takedown accuracy may only be 34%, but this could still be a deciding factor here in this one, bearing in mind that he already took down Ngannou 6 times in the last fight, and that becomes a lot easier for him to do as the fight goes on. I, as I said, don't think that much has changed here for these fighters. I cannot see what is going to go different. I understand it's scary and the money is flying in, and I understand that Ngannou is an absolute beast. If he just tags Miocic with half a punch, Miocic is going to be in trouble here. But I just believe Miocic is the more balanced fighter. He'll be able to control the fight just like he did in the last meeting. He'll have enough movement when he's fresh to get out of this first round. And I'm not sure that Ngannou has the gas tank to be dangerous after the first round. So for me, I'm going to play the underdog here. I'm going to play Stipe Miocic on the money line to win again. I don't need to pick out any kind of round or method of victory or anything when I'm already picking out the underdog. But if you do want something big, I don't see this playing out too differently. And I will be sprinkling a little bit on Miocic here to win this on points at 5-1. I mean, look, This is a fight where you could make money either way. You could take Francis Ngannou to win this in round one and you'd be getting significant plus money there. Or you could take Miocic to win it on points or in the later rounds. I don't see Miocic stopping Ngannou here at any point in this fight. So unless, of course, it's in the later rounds where Ngannou is massively gassed. But I just see a fight where Miocic looks to ride out the storm at the beginning and then begins taking him down to the ground. I don't see it being particularly exciting. And UFC need an exciting fight because they've not had a very good year this year. They want Ngannou to be the champion. There's no doubt in my mind that the best result for Dana White is for Francis Ngannou to be the champion. But unfortunately, I don't see that being the case. And it's a year of unfortunately for UFC. They did not want Israel Adesanya to lose. He was a cash cow. They wanted him to be the champ. They didn't want Conor McGregor to lose at the start of the year. Conor McGregor was supposed to fight three times this year. And as we know, that generates massive money for UFC each time with buy rates between 1.5 and 2 million. He lost. So it's not a very good year results wise. I think that trend will continue here. Miocic isn't particularly exciting. He doesn't have a particularly big following. He's not a particularly massive draw, but on paper, he is the greatest heavyweight of all time based on his record and the people he's taken out. And he's done it over and over and over again as an underdog. Somehow, he's not getting respect from the UFC. He's not getting respect here in the market. He's not getting respect from the fans. And he continues to make people look foolish. And I'm not going to go against Miocic again. I went against him in the first fight. I believe the hype behind Ngannou. But looking at everything across the 2 years, I don't really see what has changed here. So I'm going to take Miocic again on the money line here in this main event from UFC 260 tomorrow night. We will stick with UFC 260 here and we will cover the co-main event here between Vicente Luque and Tyrone Woodley, where Vicente Luque is the 2-5 favorite. It's 2-1 on Woodley. Vicente Luque is available at 11-4 to win this via TKO KO, 11-2 via submission and 13-8 via a decision. Tyrone Woodley is available at 5-1 via TKO KO, 18-1 via submission, and 4-1 via a decision. Looking at the over-unders here in this three-round fight, it is available at 2-5 to go over 1.5 rounds and 2-1 to go under 1.5 rounds. The over 2.5 rounds is available at 4-6 with the under 2.5 rounds at 11-10. And it's 10-11 for the fight to go the distance, yes and no. I recall when Tyrone Woodley was an unbeatable force in the UFC. He was winning all of his fights quite easily, but he was never quite the entertainer. It was a bit of a bore fest. Tyrone Woodley would just win the rounds, grind out the rounds, wrestle you to death, grind you down to the mat. Wasn't particularly knocking people out, but he was retaining his title. And that justified his spot on pay-per-views and in the main event. He wasn't that entertaining, but he was getting the job done. Now he's co-main eventing this pay-per-view off the back of three losses. So it confuses me why Tyrone Woodley is in this spot. I guess it's a fight where they want to get Luque over here in this spot. Woodley is in a dangerous point in his career coming off those three losses. His last one came against Colby Covington back in September of 2020. That was a TKO KO loss in round five. Woodley's a fighter who averages only 2.33 significant strikes per minute with a striking accuracy of 48%. And he is absorbing 2.72 strikes per minute with a striking defense of 55%. He also likes to grapple, as we just spoke about. He averages 1.08 takedowns per 15 minutes at a takedown accuracy of 40% and a takedown defense of 84%. Luque comes into this fight with a record of 19-7-1, 12-3 in the MMA, and he's coming off back-to-back TKO KO wins. The most recent was against Randy Brown in August 2020. He averages 5.72 significant strikes per minute. He's a lot more active than Woodley, but most people are. His striking accuracy is 53%, and because of the aggressive style that he has, he ends up absorbing 5.82 strikes per minute, and he has to be careful of that because that is a path to victory for Tyrone Woodley. But he has never lost in the UFC by a finish, interestingly, despite absorbing all of those strikes. He's got decent grappling ability, averages 0.8 takedowns per 15 minutes, good takedown accuracy of 50% and a takedown defense of 64%. It's impossible to back Woodley here with the losing streak he's on. The numbers actually don't really indicate that Luque's going to win this fight and don't really justify his favoritism, but I guess this is all about the losing streak. I think once fighters hit this, we then see a downward path, even if they are invincible at one point. We saw Jose Aldo never be the same. Henan Barao, like, we've seen it with loads and loads of people. You don't really come back from losing streaks, and it's questionable whether Woodley is on that path. But at the same time, I don't think Luque is going to be able to get the finish here. I think that he'll be able to just be more active than Woodley over the course of 15 minutes. And I think that will win him the fight. And that's why the favorite outcome here in the method of victory market is for Luque to win a decision. That makes sense to me. If Woodley can be a little bit more active, or if he can secure more takedowns and grind out rounds that way, the old school way, there is a route to victory to him. Plus, obviously, even though it's never happened to Luque before, with the amount that he does allow you to strike him, Woodley can find that knockout punch at any time. But I don't think that's going to happen. I do think Luque wins this fight on points. But as there is a path to victory for Tyrone Woodley to also win this with his grappling and takedowns, I would prefer to just take this fight to go the distance. It's 10-11, yes, and 10-11, no. And I'll be taking yes here in this one for the co-main event of UFC 260. Up next, we are going to move on to the boxing. Massive fight on pay-per-view tomorrow as Dillian Whyte has his rematch with Alexander Povetkin.
It's heavyweight boxing, you know, one punch can change everything.
That is heavyweight boxing that can turn a fight, a career on its head.
I know I can beat this guy 100%. I just made a mistake.
A massive fight for the career now of Dillian Whyte to regain his number one position.
Oh, the great spot. If you hit weight, you're going to get knocked out. You're going to get knocked out. This guy had hundreds of amateur fights. Olympic champion, European champion, world champion. I know exactly what I need to get the rematch. I'm going to knock Povetkin up. I'm definitely going to knock him up.
Alexander Povetkin had tested positive for COVID.
You know, with this guy having COVID, he's already delayed the fight once. We got to hope and pray and see what happens. I'm ready. I'm training. You know, I'm in good shape. I'm in a good place mentally. And I'm ready to go.
I said to him, what do you want this year other than world titles? And he said, I would like maximum violence.
Yeah, the rematch tomorrow night, and we shouldn't really be having a rematch. It should have been a mandatory victory for Dillian Whyte en route to a title fight. Povetkin is a fighter coming towards the end of his career. He's had a really, really good career. He's been at the top the entire time, but this looked like a fight too far. Dillian Whyte won every second of every round. He put Povetkin down. He was en route to a stoppage, and then bang, bosh, knocked out with a disgusting punch. I mean, you have to look at this thing. It's absolutely devastating. It is a prime example of anybody having a puncher's chance, because he was absolutely dominated and outclassed in that fight, and he managed to land that, whether it was Dillian Whyte being careless going in for the finish or what. I don't know what you can really put it down to. Watching it speaks for itself what happened there, and I just don't see that happening again. For me, I think Dillian Whyte will be wary of that. I don't think he'll go in too reckless. I think he'll take his time. I think he'll follow the same game plan as last time. And it was almost, almost a perfect performance, but almost can sometimes get you knocked out. It only takes a second for what happened to happen. And as I said, I encourage you guys to go and have a look at it on YouTube. And I just don't see it happening again based on how the fight was going up to that point. Dillian Whyte, despite losing, is the 1-3 favorite here. That's very, very odd. We're covering two major fights in two different sports, and the guy that lost last time is the favorite, and in this case, White is a significant favorite. But this one makes a lot more sense to me, and I am picking a change of result here from the last fight, and here's why. Not just because he's the 1-3 favorite, there'll be reasoning behind that. Povetkin is at 5-2 here. White is available at 4-6 to get the TKO KO, 7-2 via decision. Povetkin at 3-1 via TKO KO, which is the way he won last time, and 12-1 via a decision. When you're breaking down the over-under markets here, if I can find them, over six rounds is available at 4-11. So that's the fight to be the sixth round or over. So that's actually over five rounds is at 4-11. So sixth round or over, which means that if the fight finishes in the sixth or over, so you've navigated the first 5 minutes, you cash that bet there at 4-11. Seventh round or over, that means anything after the sixth round. If seventh round starts, anything past that point, that is available here at 8-15. The eighth round or over is available at 10-11. So that's your 10-11 marker for seven rounds to be boxed and the eighth round to start. So if it ends in the eighth round or over, that's your 10-11 market. It didn't get there last time. Povetkin managed to land that punch. And if he hadn't, White was on the way to winning anyway. So a little bit wary of that. Under nine rounds here is available at 8-11. And over nine rounds, ninth round or over is available at 11-10. Under 10 rounds is available at 1-2, with 10th round or over at 6-4. Under 11 rounds here is available at 4-11, with 11th round or over here available at 2-1. And for this fight to go the distance, it's available at 3-1, and it's 1-4 that it does not go the distance. Looking at the group round betting here, group round section A is divided into four sections, rounds 1-3, 4-6, 7-9, and 10-12. And White is available at 7-1, rounds 1-3, 4-1, rounds 4-6, 9-2, rounds 7-9, and 7-1, rounds 10-12. Povetkin in rounds 1-3, 16-1, rounds 4-6, 12-1, rounds 7-9, 12-1, and 20-1, rounds 10-12. If we're going to skip a few of these and just go to the wider rounds here, because I think they're the ones that are the most commonly bet. Dillian Whyte rounds 1-6 available at 5-2. Dillian Whyte round 7-12 at 9-4. Povetkin to do what he did last time between round 1-6 is available at 8-1, and he's the same price to do it in rounds 7-12. So for me here, the golden area, I think, is White rounds 7-12. But I will be a little bit wary of rounds 5-6. I think he'll take his time. I think he'll implement the same game plan. I think he'll be measured and much more careful not to take that shot on the chin. Because obviously, you can see where that complacency comes from. He was so, so dominant, and he was just searching for that knockout whilst he had Povetkin hurt. He didn't want to get into a situation where Povetkin recovered from the damage and just coasted to a points victory. But I bet he wished he had. I bet he wished he wasn't in a situation where he was having his fight. Obviously, Dillian Whyte wants this fight and asks for this fight because he wants to redeem himself before he wins it and moves on to other potential fights. He wants to fight Ruiz. He wants to fight Dante Wilder. Obviously, Joshua and Fury are out of the question at the moment after signing that two-fight deal to fight each other. So Dillian Whyte knows where his bread is buttered, and he knows that there are still money fights for him outside of Joshua and Fury, and I think Dante Wilder is the big one. But you absolutely have to win this fight. I mean, this is a career ender Two losses to Alexander Povetkin, who's touching 40, is going to be a career ender for Dillian Whyte. It's all on the line for him tomorrow night, but I think he will come through. I think he will win this fight. I'm not going to overcomplicate things. Yes, I do think that if I was forced to pick something bigger, that Whyte gets it done between rounds 7 to 12. But I think the safest way to bet this is to just take Dillian Whyte to do what he was on the route to doing and what he should have done last time, and that's winning via TKO KO. And that's available at 4 to 6, minus 150 here in this one. The second biggest fight on this undercard tomorrow night is between James Metcalf and Ted Cheeseman. I'm surprised here to see Metcalf as only the 4-6 favourite. Cheeseman's available at 11-8. Method of victory sees Metcalf knockout 5-2 and 13-8 on points, whereas Cheeseman 7-1 via TKO KO and 2-1 via a decision. Metcalf comes into this with a 21-0 record, although that is very padded. I think Cheeseman is the best guy that he has fought. Although Cheeseman is a bit of an underachiever here, I think bigger things were expected of Cheeseman. He hasn't really delivered. He hasn't moved on to that world scene. Comes into this with a 16-2-1 record. Was lucky to get that draw last time out against Kieran Conway at York Hall back in June. So this one for me is just a case of Metcalf just continuing to do what he has done and being able to step up to this level, because as I said, the big cheese hasn't delivered multiple times. He likes to go out there and have a tear up, and he definitely delivers entertaining fights, and he's a live underdog here for sure. But the fact is that Metcalf coming into with a 21-0 record, I don't think they would have taken his fight if they didn't think that he could step up. And I just see a Metcalf win here tomorrow. Ted Cheeseman hasn't really delivered at the top level. He wasn't supposed to have two losses on his record here at this point. And I don't think he's going to be the guy to put the first one into James Metcalf's record. So I think this is a relatively solid bet. One thing I will say, though, Cheeseman, in all of these battles, he's taken a lot of punishment and dished out a lot of punishment as well. He hasn't been knocked out. He's able to take a punch. So despite the fact that Metcalf has got these 13 KOs in his 21 wins and has had a lot of KOs as of late, Ted Cheeseman is a difficult opponent to knock out here. So I'm looking for James Metcalf to win it on points. I do think he'll be able to make this step up here against Ted Cheeseman, but this will be an interesting fight regardless. I don't think it's going to be any kind of huge landslide here where Metcalf is convincing and is completely outclassing Ted Cheeseman here, and it's a complete mismatch. I just think that this isn't a step too far for Metcalf. I think he'll be able to step up for Cheeseman, and I don't think Cheeseman is as good and hasn't turned out to be as good as people expected him to be. So Metcalf on points here in this one at 13-8. One last fight I want to look at here on this card is an interesting one, because I'm sure US guys will be familiar with Ricky Hatton. Well, Ricky Hatton's son, Campbell Hatton, fights tomorrow, makes his boxing debut, looks exactly like his dad. If you guys remember, Ricky Hatton went in unbeaten against Floyd Mayweather. They were both unbeaten back in 2007. Really, really good fight, with Mayweather, I think, cementing his legacy. I think that's the night he really entered the conversation as being one of the greatest ever. And obviously from there went on and remained undefeated, which included schooling Manny Pacquiao and Canelo Alvarez before I think he's retired now. We're not too sure. Depends if he needs any more money. He'll come back for another easy payday against another clown like Conor McGregor possibly. But he is retired anyway. But Campbell Hatton is Ricky Hatton's son. He makes his debut here. He's the 1-100 favourite. 1-8 via knockout and 7-2 via decision. His opponent, Jesus Ruiz, is 16-1 to beat him. Jesus Ruiz has never won a fight here. This is the dictionary definition of a tomato can, and I look for Campbell Hatton to win this convincingly. He is available at 6-4 to win this in round one. I actually think there's value there. If you're the son of Ricky Hatton and you've been signed up by Eddie Hearn and this is your showcase debut, you're not going to go in there unless you're ready, and you're going to be pretty ready for this stage. And I think going up against an 0-10 fighter, this is a tomato can. 3 minutes are a long time when the golfing class is going to be this much. He's gone in, he's been put in there to win. He's going to look good, and I think he is going to get this done inside one round. The second round is available at 9-4, but I think you can disregard round 3, 6-1, round 4, 12-1, all the points decision here at 4-1. I think rounds 1 or 2, but I don't see it getting past the first round. As I said, in boxing, when the golfing class is that big, 6-4 is a 3 minutes, and 3 minutes is a long time, and 6-4 does give you some significant value. And I think this is going to be a showcase for Campbell Hatton to get a nice debut win here under Matchroom Boxing. So that concludes this edition of the Fight Show. As I said, over at the Soccer Gambling Podcast this weekend, I will be putting out the future show for the Champions League and Europa League, so make sure you check that out. But from me, good luck with all of your bets as always, guys, and thanks for listening.